completely novel work in home health care in terms of the bloodborne pathogens, but all the other directions it's taken us into, including your participatory action research, our work on emergency preparedness. We're going very heavily down the road of patient worker safety in a household setting. So patient safety in a household setting, a brand new patient safety area that never in a million years we would have gone into without that incredible resource of the original NIOSH funding, which from what I remember was not all that much, but look at how far it has taken us. This year we have just submitted our 8th paper, and I know Jane's group, your group certainly, there's got to be 24 papers either in press or submitted just from this incredibly small research initiative, and what a pity to see it dry up. What an incredible pity, because before this group of papers, the last set were from like the 80s. And if we dry up, the next set will be 20 years going forward, except for this group of the intervention study. So that's just my little pitch. Go vote. Everybody, go vote. Start now. Start early. Go often. Okay, so we wanted to take a look at many, many different things regarding our care aides and, of course, our RNs. And the first thing and the thing that we were actually funded to look at was their injuries, injury exposures, risk factors, and that's what I'll be talking about in this first presentation. Can you hear me okay? Sorry, I'm getting over a cold. I caught it at the NWARS meeting, the occupational health and safety meetings last week. So as we already heard from Laura, this is a very large group. It's very hard to get your hands around the exact numbers. I've seen numbers as high as 1.3, 1.4 million. Depends how you slice it and dice it and whose data you're looking at. But I think we'd be fairly safe saying there are about a million home health care workers in the United States, and that's probably an underestimate because that's the formal workers. The informal would be probably another 40% is the estimate I've heard. And the California group, how I guess they get captured in that BLS data, including I know you have a very large family caregiver group, and I guess they're collected in that data. But in any case, there's a huge projected growth, and whether it's 40%, 50%, 60%, it's going to be large. It's going to be huge. It's already starting. And what we've called, what others have called, the perfect storm in healthcare and especially in home care is about to hit. It will start in 2010, just a couple of years away, and it will ride all the way through 2030 and probably for some year after, many years after. And that perfect storm is the aging population and the aging workforce and the increasing retirement of that workforce. So it's all those forces colliding together to create, or you might say, an imperfect storm. It's going to be a bad storm one way or the other. And we already know about the patient population quite at risk. And so I've talked about this now for the past couple of years in our meetings, but this is the first time I'm presenting our data on the injuries. This was a long questionnaire. I've already published on how we got them. It was a really very, I think, creative way. We went to where they get their annual physicals in New York City. This is a New York City sample. And we sat ourselves down in the waiting room. And when they come in to do the physicals, this is a place that does about 300 a day. And, you know, New York being New York, it's large and it's open long hours. And we just stayed there from the morning of the day, from the very beginning of opening till the very end of the day. And just in a few weeks, we had our sample. And we gave them a $1 scratch-off lottery ticket. And we sat there in a little separate private room. A lot of times they needed help. This was unfortunately only in English. We didn't have enough resources to translate and back translate. So we had to read it out and very slowly in some cases. But we got them. And they were great. I love working with this population. I love working with prison healthcare workers. I love working with funeral directors. And I love working with nurses of all kinds. But I really love these home healthcare workers. They're great to deal with. Of course, they look like the population as a whole. They're female. They're predominantly this 55 years and older, I just found out, is being called the young elderly. This is scary. This is very, very scary. At an aging meeting, that's what they're calling us, the young elderly. So these people are very young elderly, and they work in some form of either an aide or a personal care worker. Some of them do both types of jobs in New York City and in New York State. In fact, these jobs are pretty fluid, and some days they'll work as an aide for one family, and then they'll work as a care attendant in another. So we kind of don't differentiate them that much, although I know Sherry has tried very hard to nail down what these different groups are and what they do and how we should call them. And so they only take care of about two patients a week. And this is very important because, as I was saying, I guess it was yesterday, we have very recent data as of like 3 days ago. Our first set of data coming in from about, we're doing a 500 healthcare aide sample on emergency preparedness to get some pilot data for a grant that's going in. And with the first set that's coming in of about 200, only 21% said they would be willing to care for a patient that's not in their regular care load. Their caseload. And that's a problem because a lot of cities, states, plans all over the place are calling on our home health care workers to be the surge capacity, surge responders for hospitals or nursing homes or what have you. And first of all, they already, by the way, have two patients a week. That's telling you that they're working like 24/7 or, you know, 5 days a week or weekend shifts. A lot of them have more than one job, for one thing. But there's no there's no elasticity. There's no capacity if they're already taken care here. And also, they don't want to do it. They're willing to maybe do it, and actually, they're only about 35 or 40% saying they're willing to take care of their own patients if their own patients have pandemic flu, let alone brand-new patients. But anyway, so we looked at the injuries, getting back to the topic at hand, and out of our sample, about 12% of the entire sample reported one or more injuries on the job, that is, in the household or on the way to the household in the past 3 years. And back injuries were the most prevalent. I took a look at data from the last paper that I could find, which was 1999, the Meyer paper, where he looked at the compensation data. And their rate, surprisingly, are kind of similar in some ways, but our rate is, look at this, 373 total injuries out of that sample, and that turns into 103 injuries per 1,000 workers, or 10 per 100 if you're trying to work out. And that's one thing we've been trying over the past 3 years to figure out our denominator. These rates are double the rates that Meyer published in 1999, double. And I think what's happening is this is the aging workforce, more susceptible to musculoskeletal, upper back injuries, upper body injuries. But interestingly, we had quite a few needle sticks. These are aides. They're not, at least in New York State, New York City, they're not supposed to be handling needles at all. Maybe sometimes they might handle the disposal of an insulin needle, but this doesn't seem right. Remembering, a lot of them are cooking for these patients. Look at the number of burns. 15% reporting some kind of burn, but back injuries by far, and back injuries, and maybe Rosie knows these data. In Meyer's paper, he said it costs on average $1,200 in cost, medical costs, to take care of all the injuries in his big data set. And I was thinking that's got to be at least $2,000 now. Do you have anybody know? So about, if you estimate that it's 2,000 per injury, if I try to do some of the extrapolation out, these numbers would suggest that there are 100,000 injuries per year in home care workers. In our sample, only about 60% were reporting them, and which actually seemed pretty high, and I was surprised it was as good as that. But when you start adding the dollars, and this is what's so important in this election, they keep talking about prevention, it'll help drive down healthcare costs. We have low-hanging fruit here, back injuries. And when we take a look at how they're happening during client care. When I went to these NORA's meetings recently, they're talking about these ceiling lifts. This is not feasible in these patient homes. We're talking about walk-ups. We're talking about apartment buildings without elevators at work. That's not going to work, but maybe some kind of belt or that little swivel thing. There must be some devices that would work here in some kind of capacity that's low cost, that's easy to train on, that's easy to keep your hands on, because
They absolutely need it. So when you're talking about intervention, who's the target, who you're selling it to, in this case, they work for agencies. These are the formal caregivers. But some of those agencies are mom-and-pop agencies with 5 workers, 3 workers. And getting them to do the training and make sure they have the right equipment is a real gap. And I guess that's the policy gap that you guys have been thinking so much about, how to fill that gap, what you're going to fill it with. So we definitely think there are modifiable risk factors, and we definitely want to go down that road. But as I said, this year the funding will end for most of us in this initiative, and we're not going to be able to go down the road on the intervention assessment. We clearly see the need for it, and we have a great way to reach them through the places where they go to get their health care, or at least their annual physical or PPDs. And so we wouldn't have to go through the agencies. That might be a little bit of a barrier. We could go through either 1199, with whom we have good relations, or through these places that do their physicals. So we'd love to go there, but I don't think it's going to happen in the near future. So now moving on to the nurses. Can you help me get going? Okay. This was a really important part of this study, and we have been so excited whenever